Let's pray before we get into God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this time we can stop and remember what it is that you have done for us. What an incredible thing it is that God the Son, who was there before the creation of the world, would take on flesh, becoming fully God and fully human. Not just appearing to be human, but fully taking on our weakness. And yet you would live a perfect life, following in the footsteps of some of those who had gone before, but every time they made the wrong choice, Jesus, you made the right one. You stood firm in temptation. And because of that, when you went to the cross, a perfect, sinless man and the Son of God, the death that you paid was not the death for your own sins, but it was the death for every single one of our sins. The sins of everyone who would put their trust in you and be forgiven. We thank you for the incredible hope we remember this Christmas time. We pray that you would help us to be able to share that hope, that peace, that joy, and that love at this Christmas time, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a bit of a pause in 2 Samuel in our series there. The next couple of passages in 2 Samuel are not especially Christmassy. So this morning I'm going to be reading, for those who'd like to follow along, from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There are a lot of stories that make up the story of that first Christmas. Mary's story, Joseph's story, Elizabeth and Zachariah's story, the Magi, Herod, David's story, Abraham's story. Their stories all contribute to that first Christmas, the seed of Abraham, the son of David, being born in Bethlehem. and placed in a manger. And the story I want to focus on this morning is the shepherds who saw the angels and were terrified, fell down on their faces. Just a little reminder for us that the angels aren't like the cute and cuddly looking things that we sometimes see in our children's Bibles. The shepherds who went to see the one that they were told about in Bethlehem. The shepherds who went and told everybody what they had seen and heard from the angels that night. The shepherds who went off worshipping and praising God, that God had invited them, these shepherds out in the field, these nobodies on the global stage, to come and to share in and to celebrate and to see the newborn Saviour. I nearly said the birth of the Saviour, and that's probably not quite right. But they were invited to see and to worship and to celebrate that very first Christmas. And they went out and they told everybody. And now 2,000 years later, I find it hard to share the good news with people today. I'm going to put this not just on me, but on all of us. Who finds it challenging to share the good news of Jesus with the world around us? And in truth, in some ways, it's not exactly the same. They went out sharing the news to people that who were eagerly waiting for the Messiah and were delighted to hear the news that he had come. People who believed in angels and would believe the story of the angels around them. I think most of us know from experience that when we share the good news of Jesus, often there's not quite that eager reception. Walls come up. Eyes glaze over. And Jesus found that too. When he was sharing the kingdom of God, the good news with people. And he taught that the Messiah was something different than what they expected the Messiah would be. The walls came up. But the thing is, that Christmas story, what God did for us that first Christmas, it remains good news of great joy for all people. All people need that story. Not necessarily all will receive the story, but all need the Saviour that was born to us that Christmas morning. Well, all need the Son of God who gave his life for us. So how can we make the most of our Christmas season this year in order to be able to share the good news of Jesus with someone? And again, I'm preaching as somebody who finds this hard. God has gifted some people as natural evangelists. And that's not something that I necessarily find of myself, but he has told us all to be ready to share the good news that we have, the reason for the hope that we have. The first thing I would encourage us to do leading into this Christmas, if we want to be able to make the most of this time to share his good news with people, is to pray. Pray, I've got up there first, during and after. Pray this whole Christmas season. Pray that God would give us opportunities to talk. Maybe send him one of those little help prayers when one of those opportunities arises and we start wondering about what we should say. And after praying for those people that we spoke to about things. Beginning in prayer reminds us that it's not all on us to share God's good news with people. He has given us a part in this incredible mission to share the good news of Jesus with the world around us. But we're not the saviors. We're not the ones who will save people. God saves people. We're just given that incredible task of sharing that good news. But praying also lifts our eyes to the one who equips. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Is that, it's not, you know, I can't actually point to chapter and verse in the Bible. That doesn't come from the Bible, but I think it's a pretty fair summary. Praying reminds us, it lifts our eyes to the God who helps us in all of this. And the other thing that beginning in prayer does is that it makes us more like Jesus. In his ministry on this earth, where did the disciples find him every morning just about? Off praying for the things that were to come. When he had big decisions to make, he went off to pray. When big challenges were coming up, he went off to pray. And I've found that when I have prayed for opportunities to share something of God, God has provided those opportunities. Do I always then perfectly make the most of those opportunities? No. But I think, you know, God knows that I have a bit of a case of foot and mouth disease and that he accounts for that. God doesn't let me make a mess of somebody else's eternal salvation. And that God can work through, you know, even if we look back on something, we say, why did I say that? Or I should have said that. But God can still work through what we did say. Do we trust that? Do we trust in him that he can work through that rather than spending the whole time paralyzed about, what if I say the wrong thing? So what I'm going to do, this isn't the end of things this morning, but I want us to stop and to pray. Think about some people that you could be praying for this Christmas season to have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with. Or for anybody that he puts across your path, let's take a moment to just ask God to give us the opportunity. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the people that you have put on our hearts. We thank you that you have put us in places, in families, in communities to be salt and light there. To be the one who will share the good news of your Son Jesus with someone who needs to hear it. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would go before us this Christmas season, working in the hearts of people around us. We pray that you would give us opportunities to share your good news, to share Jesus with them. In reliance on you and not on the cleverness of our own words. And may we continue returning to you in prayer for those that we speak to. We pray that your name will be glorified, your kingdom grown. In this time of Christmas, we pray. Amen. So let's pray and continue praying for those around us. Another opportunity I think that we have to share with people this Christmas season comes from something that I've been convicted about in previous Christmas seasons in my own life. And that is what a witness it is when Christians like myself can avoid the complaining trap. How many of you have something that you could complain about Christmas? About the cost, about all the things that happen and the busyness and all of the things that we have to do. I have been guilty of complaining about Christmas. From here, even. It proves God's grace that I haven't been struck by lightning yet. But imagine complaining that the Son of God was born to us, that He came to be our Savior, that He came to set us free. Christmas is a very busy time of year, and I know that, you know, in a ministry role, I feel a lot of pressure to do a lot of things well. Christmas is an expensive time of year when you factor in the presents, the food, and the gifts to those in need. And when we talk about Christmas, it can be so easy to talk about the busyness and the difficulty. But what a witness we can have to be people who unabashedly love Christmas for all that it represents, for all that it is. But I want to be clear, what I'm not saying is from today, go out there and repress every negative feeling that you have about Christmas. Repress every bit of stress that you feel and pretend to be happy. That's not going to do anything for anybody. That is the path to a breakdown or a blow-up. There are the right people that you can have the conversations with to say, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. I feel like all of this stuff is getting on top of me. Absolutely have those conversations with the right people, and if you need to offload that, I'm more than happy to listen. But one thing we can do to encourage one another when we're feeling those things is to take our eyes off the list of things to be done. Thank you, Andrew, for the reminder about the remaining shopping days before Christmas. I will have to make use of that. That is on my list to be done. But let us also take some time to take our eyes off the to-do list and to fix our eyes on the one that it's all about and to worship Him. Jesus doesn't demand that we max out our credit cards. Jesus doesn't demand that there are king prawns and a wonderful spread and everything is immaculate at your house on Christmas Day. We put those things on ourselves. He doesn't demand that we fill every waking moment in this season. He came to be our Savior, to be God with us, to free us from sin and from shame. He chose to come to the nobodies of the world. He served. He loved. He gave. He gave His life for us. And that's worth celebrating. So let's encourage one another to lift our eyes this Christmas season to the right place. And my final encouragement this morning, let's pray, let's start off in prayer, let's avoid the complaining trap, and let's pursue real conversations this Christmas time. I think it's fair to say Australians are not great at conversations. Actually, no, I'm modifying my script here because I felt it was too harsh. What I'd written was, Australians are terrible at conversation, especially us men. Like, they need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a public health campaign just to encourage men to ask each other if they're okay. We don't tend to have many real conversations. And I... I'm up here as somebody who is, like, I'm a more introverted sort of person who for some reason God has kicked out here to be in front of everybody. And I trust that he has a reason for that. So I'm not getting up here as I'm the perfect example of this is how you have good conversations with people. I struggle with this too. I'd like this not just to be a presentation from me, but that afterwards this is a conversation with all of us, because I have a lot to learn. I have a confession to make. Like, in all the years that I've known all of you, I still don't think I could say I know what every single one of you does for a living, or did for a living if you're retired now. I reckon I know more than half, but because our conversations don't get to these places, and that's not even that deep. Let alone knowing things like our hopes and dreams, our fears and doubts, our loves and hates. So I have just a couple of things that I've picked up along the way in getting into better conversations. You don't start with, so what are your hopes and dreams with somebody that you've just met? There is a place for the talking about, like, getting to know about their family, getting to know about their hobbies and their interests and what excites them. It's fine to start with those things and then to take a genuine interest in what they say. And as we talk about their interests, that can lead in, oh, so where would you like to go with that? Would you like something to come out of that? And then we're starting to get a bit more into the hopes and dreams and plans. There's a thing that they drill into us in Kairos. It's almost the motto of Kairos is listen, listen, love, love. A huge part of being good at conversation is listening and showing an interest in the answers that are actually given. It's so easy. I don't know if it's just my generation thing here, to, you know, treat conversation almost like a dialogue tree in a video game where you're just trying to get, tell me more about this, tell me more about, and just treating it as a very transactional thing. Oh, that reminds me of the story I want, you've told me a funny story, I want to tell you about my story that's even better than that. And in time, as we are getting deep in conversations, often there'll be opportunity for us to get into our hobby horse instead of the gospel. How many of us have a topic that we love to get and turn a conversation onto? Look for opportunities to take things to the gospel. Because this is a time of year where people are thinking about things more deeply. It's a time of year where you look back on the year that has been. Or, you know, Christmas tends to take you back to years gone by and Christmases gone by. And it leads into New Year, and what do people do in New Year? They make their resolutions for what they want to do and who they want to be in the New Year. It is a time where we're thinking deeply about things. Now, it's next to impossible to naturally bring Jesus into a conversation about the cricket. But it is much easier to bring Jesus, the hope of the gospel, into a conversation about hopes and dreams, about worries and doubts, about triumphs and failures, about big picture conversations. So I'm about to finish my sermon, but I just want to say I don't want this to be the final word. Like I say, I'm not necessarily the best conversationalist out there. Let's encourage one another after the service with how we can pursue real conversations this Christmas. But this Christmas, let's pray for opportunities to share God's love, to lift our eyes above our troubles and our busyness, and to pursue real conversations with people that we care about. People can tell that you care because And we want to do these things because God has cared for and loved us, because a Savior has been born to us in David's town, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to be filled with your love for the people around us, so that as we have conversations with them throughout this Christmas time, we will see the people that you love dearly, and they will see in us somebody who truly cares about what they're saying, about the things that we're discussing. We pray that there are opportunities to talk about the deeper things in life. And from those opportunities, that we have a chance to share with them the way that Jesus is the answer to their fears and doubts, the way that Jesus is the one that brings peace, the way that Jesus offers us something far beyond our hopes and dreams, and lifts our hopes and dreams to life everlasting in loving relationship with God, our Creator. We pray that you would help us to have these good conversations this Christmas time. We pray for your grace, and that we would have grace for ourselves where we might miss an opportunity and look back on those. And we pray that you would help us to be faithful in shining your light and being your salt of the earth this Christmas time, we pray. Amen. Our closing song this morning is Go Tell It on the Mountain.